Today is Reading Across America Day, a celebration of reading that coincides with the birthday of Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss. And this year, the best-selling and beloved children's author's work is being reevaluated. Dr. Seuss Enterprises announced today that it will no longer publish 6 Dr. Seuss books, including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, because of their racist and insensitive imagery. Joining us to discuss is Juanita Giles, founder and executive director of the Virginia Children's Book Festival. Juanita, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you, and I'm wondering what your reaction is to these half dozen books no longer being published.
Well, I'll tell you, it was the first news I saw this morning when I woke up, and my first reaction was, this has been a long time coming, to be honest with you. And I think it's important that people recognize that his entire canon is not being thrown out. But I've spoken to a lot of people today about this, and everybody's having, you know, some fairly emotional reactions about it, and understandably so. It can be difficult to take someone who is beloved as Dr. Seuss and think that he was capable of anything that would be racist or insensitive, even though we know that that's true.
Well, for folks then who are maybe struggling to come to terms with that, or maybe they've forgotten because they haven't read the books in many years, I mean, can you talk a little bit about the racist and insensitive imagery in these books?
I can. I was speaking with a friend this morning who had told me that it was just a few weeks ago she had started reading her childhood copy of If I Ran the Zoo to her granddaughter. And she only got in a little ways before she stopped. She herself was very distressed, specifically by the imagery of Asians in the book. And I had not seen this book myself in some time, and I borrowed her copy. And when I opened it, I was really stunned by it. Of course, other people, as I said before, are just so in love with Dr. Seuss that they can excuse some of these things, especially knowing how the evolution of his work changed. And he acknowledged and recognized that he had done some of these things in his earlier books.
Well, you know, I mean, there's the overtly racist imagery in these books that are being discontinued, but there's also subtler things in other Dr. Seuss works. You know, I'm thinking, for example, of my own childhood favorite, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which takes place in the fictional town of Whoville, and all the characters there are white, which could signal to readers of color that they don't belong in Dr. Seuss's idea of an idyllic society. So what do we do about that?
That's 100% correct. And it's easy to forget that it's not just Dr. Seuss books that have predominantly white imagery or all white imagery. That was certainly the case for many years in America, and it's still a problem today, to be honest with you. Representations of children of color or people of color in children's literature is still vastly lagging. It's something that the industry is addressing, and I'm so happy to see it, but he's certainly not alone in that white representation.
Well, so in this movement to diversify children's literature that you're mentioning, I'm wondering, A, why you think that's a good idea, but also, B, if you have any tips for parents or grandparents, like the one you mentioned earlier, who may be in the habit of just reaching for the classics that they read as children.
Right. Well, it certainly is important, I think, for everyone, not just to see themselves represented, but to see other people and other cultures or races or ethnicities represented as well. I was talking earlier to someone about how difficult it is to play catch up with children if they don't experience diversity in what they see every day. Whereas if this diversity is put forward on a daily basis, it becomes natural for children to experience differences and to see themselves, which is such a powerful thing for small children who are already navigating the world through grown-up eyes and grown-up control. Just to see themselves gives them a sense of ownership of themselves. And I would say to parents and grandparents, there certainly is a place for classics, but the diverse books are out there. And the more we purchase them or check them out of the library, the more there will be. If we drive the demand, then there will be more diversity in children's literature.
So then when you are sitting down with one of these classics with your child or your grandchild and you come across racist imagery, how do you handle that? I mean, do you discuss it on the spot with your child? Is there a certain age where you think it's time to have that conversation? What's the best way to handle it?
I discuss it with my children on the spot because I can see their reactions to things, and it needs to be addressed at that moment. It's important to remember, I think, that you do have to look at a book through the lens of when it was written, but that is an adult skill. And it is incumbent on us as parents and grandparents or teachers or anyone who is reading to a child to give them some context. There are many books that are wonderful books and yet reflect certain tropes or ideas of their time period. And you don't necessarily want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and get rid of the whole book. But it is a teachable moment there for children. And it's really important not to just let it go by and let that be absorbed into the child without addressing why that's in there in the first place.
Juanita Giles is the founder and executive director of the Virginia Children's Book Festival. Juanita, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.